With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us again today on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. We are very grateful to have Pastor Wes Bradenhoff with us again from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Wes, thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
And we had an enjoyable discussion last week when we looked at what it means, what the Lord has designed for ministry itself, in that He has given certain marks of a true church, certain things to look for when we look for a church today, Wes. Right. And last week we outlined the first mark was that the preaching of the Word, the preaching of the true Word of God, important thing. You want to elaborate anything or give a summary of what we considered last week?
Well, when people go to a church, they should look for a church where the Word is central. And that is especially in the preaching, that the Word is open, that the Word is exposited, that you don't hear about people's experiences as such, but that you hear Christ preached, Christ crucified, the Christ who is revealed in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Good. Now this week we're gonna look at a different mark, you might say, of a true church. One that often gets overlooked, and I would suspect that many of us who are hearing this today would struggle a little bit even hearing the term. We're gonna look at what we call the second mark of a true church, which is the right administration of the sacraments. Now, Wes, even the name sacrament today has sort of become a bad word to many in Christian theology. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's probably because of its historic association with the Roman Catholic Church. I think the Roman Catholic Church is often spoken of sacraments. It's a term that goes back actually to the early church. It goes back many, many centuries. But the Roman Catholic Church took it over, and in reaction to the Roman Catholic Church, many Christians today have a problem with it, just as the same as they have a problem with the word Catholic. Even though it's a good, useful word, people generally are very aversive to it.
Right, and in Roman Catholic theology, of course, they had outlined for years that there were seven sacraments and still hold to that position. But,
right. You know,
when we look at the clear teachings of Scripture, Jesus instituted two sacraments, two that He wanted His church to observe until He comes again. And the sacrament, of course, being the perpetual one of the Lord's Supper, and then the initiatory sacrament of baptism, which is initiation into covenant membership in the Christian church. Mm-hmm. The Lord's Supper being a sign of renewal in the truths of the gospel, renewal in what we confess and believe and what Christ has done for us. And Wes, we have a definition of the sacraments in our Heidelberg Catechism, which is a beautiful statement of faith. And we read there, "Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and might put a seal on that promise." Holy signs and seals for us to see. Sometimes we confuse those things. You want to explain a little bit what that means there?
Well, it's quite simple, really. A sign is a sign, just like you would see if you were driving down the road, you were driving down the interstate or driving down the freeway, and you would see a sign that says Seattle, 150 miles, or Vancouver, 60 kilometers, or whatever it is. It's a sign pointing to something. No one would go to that sign and say, "This is Seattle," or "This is Vancouver." It's a sign pointing us ahead to something. And sacraments are like that. Sacraments point us to the promise of the gospel. And we also say that they are seals, that they guarantee something. It's like God putting His stamp on it and saying, "This is genuine. This is the real thing. You can trust this."
Now, Wes, the real challenge, of course, is that some people hearing this might say, you know, that's just theologians getting together and putting together this language. And the fact is that this language comes right out of the Bible.
That's right.
In Romans chapter 4, these very words are used. "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. So, Wes, what's clearly outlined there then is that this was a sign and a seal of something that had happened on the inside, right?
That's right. Yeah, and so we can see speak of circumcision as kind of being an Old Testament sacrament. And it later falls away with the coming of Jesus Christ.
Right. So, and the point here, and oftentimes, is that we tend to, I think it's interesting, Wes, that today, especially in the emergent church movement, people are looking for spirituality in things. And so there's often a confusion today that the Lord's Supper, you know, for instance, I received a packet in the mail not too long ago. It was my personal Lord's Supper kit that I could take at home, and somehow I would receive some spirituality from taking the elements of the supper itself. So there's been a lot of bad views connected with the sacraments today. What is a proper view of the sacraments, at least in light of what we hear, that Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised? What does that tell us about the sacraments?
Well, it tells us that sacraments have to be viewed in connection with Christ. Because the promises that were made to Abraham, which is the connection there with circumcision, those promises were leading up to Jesus Christ. And so sacraments find their truth in Christ. They're not in and of themselves things that strengthen our faith or help us in any way. It's only in their connection with Jesus Christ.
The sacraments themselves aren't conveyors of grace. It's the Spirit who works that in us through a believing heart.
Right.
And so these sacraments then are used, they only are properly used when you have a believing heart. And notice there with Abraham that this sign and seal was given to him, he had already believed. So circumcision didn't save him.
No.
Baptism doesn't, I think that's often fairly uncharacterized, that the act of baptism actually saves, or the act of baptism actually unites us to Christ, or the act of baptism does these things. It's not the act of baptism.
No.
It's the Holy Spirit who produces that union and that effect.
That's right. And it's also important to view the sacraments as something that God is doing for us, that it's God who is the actor or the subject of the sacraments. And I think that's often also a contemporary confusion. For instance, in baptism, people view it as something that they did, that when we were baptized, this was our way of confirming or confessing our faith in Jesus Christ for those who were baptized as adults. But really, in Scripture, baptism is something that where God signs and seals his promises. The Lord's Supper, too, is a place where God signs and seals his promises. God is the actor. God is pointing us to Jesus Christ. God is strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ through these sacraments.
That's a wonderful point. We tend to take our spirituality and the things of the Christian faith and turn our act of doing them into things that sort of please the Lord. But the Lord, and the wondrous, the beautiful teaching on the sacraments is that the Lord condescends to us and he gives us two signs and seals to show us his love for us.
Exactly.
Not our so much our love for him. Now, of course, our belief in Christ and our submitting ourselves to him is an act of our love for him, but that comes by his sovereign workings of the Spirit. These signs and seals confirm and assure for us what God has done in sending Christ to save us from our sins.
Exactly. And what's more, Chris, is that the sacraments also reflect God's grace towards us, because you know, we don't deserve these things. We don't deserve Christ. And even after we believe, we don't deserve anything from God. We don't earn anything. You know, and I think that the sacraments reflect God's grace and that he is mindful of the way we were created, that we are weak. We are creatures. And so he gives us these sacraments to seal his promises to us and to be pledges of his goodwill and grace towards us. And when we consider that, when we think that, that lifts up our hearts and that encourages us and makes us want to praise God all the more.
You know, Israel created a golden calf in the wilderness because they wanted a tangible, something tangible, a God they could see and behold. And today, you know, we're really no different than the Israelites. We're creating all these visuals and things to sort of provide access to God. And sadly, Wes, is the two things that the Lord has given us, what Augustine once called the visible word.
Right.
These two visible words where we have actually things we can see and touch. That Christ has commanded. These things are shoved to the side, and we would rather give way to movies and these sort of things in worship.
How sad.
Yeah. The whole spirituality of the church has suffered because of a wrong view of the sacraments.
Exactly. And I think it's important for churches today to recover that historic Christian view of the sacraments and to value them as something that God has given in addition to the word to represent better to our senses what he declares to us in his word.
Right. God knows our weakness.
Exactly.
He knows that by nature we are people who want to see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and hear and taste and smell.
And so what does he come to us? In the sacraments, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives us visible signs in the Lord's Supper of bread and wine that point us to the body and blood of Christ. And what happens? When you partake of that in faith, the Spirit bridges the gap from earth to heaven, and he nourishes us spiritually on the body and blood of Christ so that there is actual spiritual strengthening of our faith when we partake
exactly.
with a believing heart.
And that's the whole purpose of a sacrament. And I think that should be clear to our listeners as well, is that we do not believe that the sacraments create faith. They do not.
Right.
They sustain and they strengthen and they nourish faith.
Very good point. And so that's why when we say there are two sacraments, the baptism is a one-time sacrament given to initiate you into the Lord's covenant as among his covenant people. He sets his sign and seal and mark upon you and assures you of his promises. In the Lord's Supper, it's for the weary, struggling sinner.
Exactly.
As Israel was provided the manna in the wilderness, so the true bread from heaven feeds and nourishes us every time we partake so that we would be strengthened along our wilderness way heading toward the promised land, right?
And I think even getting back to baptism, every time you witness a baptism in public worship, you are again watching what the Lord declared, what he signed and sealed to you when you were baptized. The sacrament of baptism is not just for the individual who is being baptized at that very moment. It's for the entire congregation, for the strengthening and nourishing of the faith of the entire church. It's not an individualistic thing. It's a corporate thing. And that's
right.
The nature of sacraments as well, is that they are corporate.
Right. That's a very good point. This belongs to the body of Christ, special, special signs and seals that he's given to show their identity as those who have been brought in from darkness into this marvelous light and been brought into Christ's kingdom by grace alone through faith alone.
And we can sure be thankful. That's a beautiful gospel. And that beautiful gospel is portrayed visibly for us in the sacraments.
We need these things recovered, my friends. They're lost today. Many of the church is looking for subjective spirituality in things when the Lord has provided us two wonderful ways of seeing and tasting that he is good. Wes, when are your worship service times?
Our worship services times are at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays, and people can find out more information about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
So much to learn from God's Word in, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.